League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Oh, what is going on, everybody? Welcome to On Screen Live. Welcome to the summer finale of On Screen Live, if you can even believe it. My name is Andrew Jupin. This is our show for Monday, June the 30th. We got a lot to get to today because we're going to jam a lot in for this special summer finale. So we're going to bring everybody in. No farting around today, just getting right to it. First up, you know him, you love him, Mr. Steven Sadak.
Hi there. I want to call attention to the fact that I'm wearing a shirt that is so wretched. My wife hates it, and I'm not sure I could wear it outside.
And it is?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, dude. You're lucky you've already tied the knot, my friend. Mm-hmm. That's all I can tell you.
No prenup, my friend.
No. Bring him in next. You know him. You love him. Mr. Chris Cabin.
Hi there, everybody. You just threw a loop for me. I thought I was waiting. Eric was supposed to be next usually. And then you completely threw it up. But yeah, I'm here. I'm doing my thing. I don't have an embarrassing shirt unless you hate the Mountain Goats. I don't know if you do.
Sure.
If you do, then I'm sorry for you. But
you'll make it through this year if it fucking kills me, Chris Cabin.
Exactly. So. Exactly yeah, as you should.
And finally, last but not least, coming in straight from the gray zone of Sin City, Mr. Eric Siska.
Yes, you know, we just recorded our episode for July 15th. We're doing Sin City. And now this is my reality. I can't get out of it.
Wow. Oh, shit.
This
dude.
Is how everything looks like to me.
Dude, do you have a little yellow penis shaped like a Cheeto?
You want me to do some Jeffrey Toobin action?
Oh, right yeah. That yellow Toobin.
That's whenever Steve stands up, I'm worried that's going to happen. We'll see. No.
Just once he's going to forget. Like, he's going to forget that his fly is open or something.
Yeah.
But that's
yeah.
all the time. I'm just walking around, breezing in the wind.
Normal orange bastard. Just a normal old orange bastard. That's it.
There you go. Holy crap. It was a wild week at the box office. Let's check it out. This is Highest Gross. So we're off last week. We had some changes go on there. And then already there's changes on top of that. Changes on top of changes at the box office. Let's get into it. At number five, this is unfortunate because it marks a 68% fall from its opening weekend. But in fifth, 28 years later.
I'm shocked by that.
Talking about more. But yes, pretty shocking.
I don't think it's too... it's a really weird movie. I don't think it's a movie that... is going to take up, like, I can't see my aunts going to see this. Like, if I was going to be like, this is an incredible movie, you know, very, like, edgy style, very heavily stylized. They're not going to be interested in that stuff. But, like, if it's, you know, five grannies hanging out and, like, talking about pizza, maybe.
Yeah, no, maybe. You're speaking of nonnas, of course.
Of course, nonnas.
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, read about that in the Big Daddy Dispatch coming up. Eric sacrificed himself to watch Nonas. The thing about this, though, is like it had its legs cut out by Megan 2.0, which also didn't do great. We'll see in a second.
Horrible.
But there's no legs on this. To go from whatever it was last week to 9.7 million, I mean, that's just, it's bad.
But even still, it made 100 million. It only cost 60 to make. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, this is why you make reasonably budgeted movies. You'll turn a profit, even if it's, you know what I mean, you run up against some troubles.
Yeah, I mean, again, though, I just would love this to see, you know, have some legs in the fucking theater, because right now, it's the best movie I've seen all year. We'll talk about that in a sec.
I've got some issues.
There we go.
Oh boy.
So this was a huge and quite surprising disaster for its opening weekend. In fourth is Megan 2.0 with a paltry $10.2 million on its opening weekend. Good God.
None of us saw it, right?
No, I did not.
I have not. I've seen the first one, and the reviews I have read suggest that the problem is they just didn't know what to do with the second movie. Like, really? The
idea
they had was... Of course,
because not everything needs a sequel.
Well, that's one thing, but like they didn't even have like a good idea to spurn more deaths or anything like that. Like they didn't have the basic formula. What I hear is that like they kind of tripped over what Megan is. Like Megan is now like more human than not.
Yeah. Well, because we're trying to do like Terminator 2, right? She's like kind of the good guy in this one. Like,
yes.
It's a dumb idea, especially because you could say it's Terminator a horror movie, probably. But you know what I mean? Like, Megan was very specifically a horror movie. It can't be.
Yeah, sure.
And now it's becoming memeified and like so. We're just like, it's so fun that it's Megan or whatever, and like not knowing what that means. You know what I mean? So you're like, you kind of slop out a sequel in it. What was it? 2 years? Not even. Pretty recent.
Even. And you know, they were also doing these weird advertisings with it. They were trying to encourage people to use their phone throughout the movie to use some app with it.
Did that actually happen though?
That was a test thing. That didn't actually make it across the line.
Wow.
That was something
What great advertising then? Oh, this thing we might be doing, we're not doing it.
Megan came out in January of 2023. So
okay.
A full two year change. But
2 years, okay.
It's a short runway, though, to, you know, especially with the special effects budget and all that shit. You know what I mean? Like, you got to get that thing in the hopper. And they were just like, I don't know. Like, I'm sure it took them a bit by surprise. And like, I'm sorry. Let's let horror movies be horror movies, ladies and gentlemen. Let's ease that on the fucking shit slop. Just because if you call something a horror movie, people will go see it. I'm tired of it.
Yeah, I mean, like, sci-fi can be kind of scary, and that's kind of what I consider this to be. Mm-hmm. Also, just looking at some interesting numbers, it was 50% below the tracking, so it did 50% worse than what people thought it was going to do. But cool thing about it, though, 53% of the opening night demographic were women checking out a movie like this, so that's cool. Ladies, in genre cinema, it happens, fellas.
It's a summer movie. Like, it's the first one came out in January. This has got It's got March written all over January as well. Like,
when she's fucking dancing and doing, bitch, you know, it's the fucking, it's the summer of Megan. That's what they thought.
Great point. Yeah. It's not a summer movie.
No, it's not.
Another one that I think is kind of confusing audiences a little bit, in at number three from Pixar, Elio.
I can tell you the problem here is you named your movie after what sounds like an app.
Well, also the marketing was so bad on this movie. It's a real like, ooh, we'll keep it secret what it is. And it's like, you didn't even tell, there's not even like the log line to know what this is. It's like a kid in a fucking colander hat in space. And I'm like, the fuck even is that?
Yeah. Why is he wearing that as a hat?
Yeah.
Well, it's weird, right? Because I feel like part of this might be the people who do the marketing for the Pixar movies are so used to like standing, you know, on their laurels, and it's like, oh, you remember that last Toy Story? Well, here's another Toy Story, and we barely have to do anything for it. And like these ones that are new ideas, you're kind of using that like presumption of, well, it's Pixar, right? And you barely tell me what it's about. Like, fuck you. I'm not going to take a chance on that. You've burned me too much over the last 10 years, Pixar.
I feel like even like Brave or something, like the more obscure Pixar is like the ad campaign. I knew what I was buying a ticket to. It's like, oh, it's a medieval romp, whatever. Oh, she's a bear for some reason. Then that's a fun surprise when you get to the theater. But at least you kind of have a better idea of what was going on. At least I thought.
Brave, they turn into animals in that?
They do. Yep. She gets cursed into, or her parents get cursed into being bears.
Oh, I think. Bear.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, pronounce you bear. Black bear. Grizzly bear. A polar bear.
A bear for pride.
Yes, I like that. Exactly. Happy pride, everyone.
Mm-hmm. Big bear daddy.
Boy, happy, happy. What was I going to say? Oh, the other thing that's pathetic about this, in its second week, It made less money than How to Train Your Dragon that's in its third week, which is kind of funny, but we'll take a look at that. The live-action one in week three doing $19.4 million, bringing it to, what's that looking like? 455 global, 200 domestic, and even managing to scrape up $23 million in China, everybody. Wow. So this is that's just fine.
I'm hearing Steve Kvetch over there. You see this picture?
No, I just hate the idea of it.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean,
you might love it if you go see it. If you go see it, you might love it.
Okay.
I don't think so. I think the problem, like Elio, again, the issue is like, Elio should have housed this thing in this amount of time. And the fact that How to Train Your Dragon, like, you're just like, give me more of what I know I'm going to like. And nothing that I could possibly ever have a little problem with. And like, it's a Pixar movie. You're not going to have a big problem with it anyway. Yeah. It's just weird that they split the difference like that.
But it's also, I mean, it's, again, it's that like How to Train Your Dragon is a known thing. There's like at least three of those animated ones. Yeah. Yes, it's easier to advertise. And that's why I think like these folks just got to learn this new shit. Like, audience are just poorly conditioned now to only like recognize stuff that they have seen already. So you have to do the extra lift, you know, especially when you're like trying to convince parents to like take a risk on, you know, dragging the family out and spending a bunch of money. Like, you have to fucking do a better job telling people what these movies are.
Yes, because it's like a new restaurant opens and a lot of people are apprehensive. They'd rather go to McDonald's. You got to really convince the public to go.
Yeah, yeah, no, exactly. You did not have to do too much convincing of the public to check out F1 the movie.
Yeah,
dumbest title of the year, I feel.
Oh, easy. Well, because that's the thing, is like, that's baked in. This circumvents your issue because I was thinking about this today. Like, if Blue Chips came out, the great movie Blue Chips that everybody is always talking about from the mid-90s, Nick Nolte and Shaquille O'Neal.
Yep.
If it was called NCAA the movie, it probably would have done a little better. You know what I mean?
Probably.
Like, but like, it was a movie, so it's like, we're not going to call it NCAA the movie. It's actually about a story about these guys who are blue chip players, yada, yada, yada. As opposed to F1, it's like, it's not the movie, it's not the story of F1, it's an F1 story, you know what I mean?
F1 colon a race car story.
Exactly.
That'd be amazing. That's a good title. I haven't seen this yet. I do want to check it out because I've enjoyed the director's past.
We will talk about it. I do think he is coming to a point. Kaczynski has come to a point where like, I like anything he makes, but like, this is the one where I'm watching it purely for the way he's visualizing everything, which he does a very good job of. I think the story with Brad Pitt and the younger racer is garbage, but very predictable. But everything else about it, I liked a lot.
And have you heard of this legacy sequel supposed tie? Now, this is a rumor from the internet. I don't know if this is true, that there's going to be a Days of Thunder sequel with Tom Cruise, and it's going to be a sequel to this movie as well, and Brad and Amber to be together.
Oh, wow. Oh. I had not heard that.
Yeah.
I heard they've been crying. They wanted to get Brad Pitt and Cruise together for this originally, and maybe they're going to finally, now that it made money, maybe they could finally do it.
Is Tom Cruise an F1 racer in Days of Thunder?
I have no idea.
I've never seen it.
It's a racer. Yeah. I don't remember what for.
It's a Tony Scott movie, right?
Yeah, it's a smaller car. I think it's a Daytona situation. I think it's like the bigger cars. It might have been NASCAR. I don't know.
Maybe NASCAR.
Someone can yell.
It is.
But NASCAR, I am used to at this point after the news of this week where we have both Once Upon a Time in Hollywood 2 is happening and Social Network 2 is happening.
Yes.
I'm like, you know what? Fine. Do whatever you're going
to
do.
Well, but also, it's like a tea party who gets to direct these because like neither of the original directors are coming back. And it's like, okay.
Yeah. In from the chat, by the way, confirming that Days of Thunder, which none of us have seen or remember well, is NASCAR.
Mm. Okay.
But yeah, I mean, for me, like, you know, I'm seeing all these complaints like, oh, it's just like a polished commercial for F1. And I was like, but I like watching F1. Yep. Like, I don't give a shit. Like, you know, I want to see the Kaczynski technical prowess, like capturing what I think is beautiful car racing.
Yeah, that's, you know what? So. If that's all, I need the movie for everything. I mean, NASCAR, the movie, because then I can watch a really thrilling match and I don't have to pay attention. I don't have to sit with the bad angle. That's on my TV, right? It's like far back. You see the guys going in a circle. Not as interesting. You put Brad Pitt in there. I got something to add, a little eye candy.
I got to tell you, dude, I think you should watch a little modern F1 coverage. The tech is quite impressive. It's very dynamic.
Okay. Yeah, I did not know that. Where the hell, what channel is that on?
They often air on ESPN here in the States. They do the, it'll be like a weekend of stuff. So you have like qualifying rounds and things of that nature. And then like Sunday is the day when they have wherever the Grand Prix is happening.
Oh, so it's actually like Sunday. Sundays in the weekend. I always figured the stuff on the weekend is like filler. They don't expect anyone to watch that.
No. It's Sunday. And the cool thing is because generally a lot of them are not in our part of the world, they're always like way early in the morning. Like, so you're like, I was watching the Austrian race at like 9 a.m. the other day, yesterday.
Interesting.
Yeah, I got cool. Shout out to Philip Sobrero for quoting Jerry Was a Race Car Driver, the best Primus song.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Oh, wow, they found one, huh?
there's many. There's many.
I don't know about that.
Also, they should make the sequel F2, which is about the computer button.
Dude, yes. If it's like a crossover with BlackBerry for some dumb reason.
Yes.
That'd be awesome.
So last Tuesday, Jesus, a week ago, last Friday, there we go. We did our Superman 2 live show, which was a super ton of fun. And the cool thing is you can get a replay of that right now. The whole night is still available for replay now through July 4th, which is pretty rad.
Both the live show itself and the after party.
The after party Q&A. Dear. That is right.
Wild.
Oh, it did. But I do have a clip really quickly. If anyone hasn't checked out or maybe you're on the fence about it, here's just something a little wet your whistle. This is us from the Superman 2 show. It's about a 2-minute clip. And you'll be unsurprised to know, folks, we almost immediately start talking about hot dogs for a little bit. Let's check it out.
Yep.
Can I ask a question, though? Did anybody else notice? Because, like, this theatrical cut, due to Gene Hackman refusing to, you know, do those reshoots.
Oh, my God.
And you have this, like, embarrassing voice double that's terrible. Oh, my God. There's already a hefty dose of dub in this movie, right? This scene where they, you know, first enter the hotel room and there's this bellhop.
Oh, yeah.
And one, he's doing the obnoxious, I'm chewing gum with my mouth open. Superman, fucking throw that guy into the sun. Why don't you?
Yeah, I'm trying to be Burt Reynolds.
But
you guys could fuck in this room?
Yeah. The dub between the three of them when he's like, oh, you want me to bring over the threshold, all that shit. I thought I was watching like a bad Jalo. The dub is so fucking horrible. I was like, are all three of these people from Rome? And this is all dubbed. It's so fucking bad.
Tonight, Superman shall be played by Franco Nero.
Ooh, I would watch that. Absolutely.
Kid goes down, falls, basically jumps off. I don't know. This kid's pulling a Lois Lane here.
And I think this is in both cuts, which is basically like, and Superman comes to save because Clark is not around as usual. Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm either going to shoot Clark Kent in the chest or jump off a bridge. I'm a logical lady.
I love Clark forgetting because the whole thing is he's walking away as this kid jumps off to go buy them hot dogs.
Nice.
And when he's walking, like you see Superman fly behind the concession stand and then he's walking back out and he's like, oh, and just it's almost like an Abe Simpson going into the bordello and like he turns around, just grabs the hot dogs really quickly and takes away. I noticed, though, I'm pretty sure in the Donner cut, he doesn't pay for the hot dogs. And in the theatrical cut, you hear a sound effect of like coins being put on the table because there's no one working it. Like Clark goes and takes these hot dogs.
Is this kid's life not worth a couple free hot dogs? What are we talking about here? Superman's entitled to a hot dog.
It's the least you can do, Honeymoon Haven Hotel. So there you go. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Really fun show. Check it out. moment.co/WeHateMovies.
And I'm going to answer a question Millie Boo had asked. Do I like the new Superman logo? And the answer is no. Just
wait. Did they change it? Isn't it just an S?
You know, they've changed for the movie.
It's a different S.
It's a different kind of S. It's a little more stylized where you can barely tell it's an S. I guess we're doing that whole like, it's Kryptonian writing. Why would it look like an S? Because it's a comic book.
You know
movie,
they should
folks.
Do.
It's okay. You know it's okay.
The S that all the kids like draw. You everyone's drawn it in elementary school. How about that be the Superman?
Mm-hmm. It's a little too Nazi-esque.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Just that. I think that I always thought that S is a little bit too
too close for the Nazis.
Really? I identify the Nazi ass as being the double lightning bolt SS. Yeah, maybe that could be Superman's look.
Oh, no.
I'm sure it has been in an Elseworlds comic.
There you go.
Philippe's saying that's inspired by Kingdom Come. Yeah, I think you're right. It's closer to that. But it's a little, it's almost like three lines. You know what I mean? Look it up right now if you want to. It's just, it's not.
Yeah.
Doesn't get me hard is the
Superman S controversy. Let me look.
Which can we get a list of the S's that have got you hard?
Those are important. The Max Fleischer version, the Superman Electric versions, Kingdom Come version. Yeah, so there's quite a few that's got me hard.
That's quite a few. Yeah, that's
good. Yeah. Nice. Okay, I see what you're saying now. It looks like a bridge or something.
Exactly. It's less SX. S-esque. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, there you go. So we've weighed in on the S. I will check it out.
Put that in the metadata, Andrew. Put that in the metadata.
I definitely will.
The S is discussed.
S gate. so let's get into talking about something we saw here because it's a big hell yeah. Danny Boyle's 28 years later. I was genuinely surprised at how good I thought this movie was. I thought I was just going to go into it. It was going to be like kind of fine. And I think it is like I said this on Letterboxd, it is a ghoulishly beautiful movie. I really loved it. I loved the performances. I loved the way it was shot. I loved what they did with iPhones. I was kind of going into it like, oh man, now we're just doing iPhones. Does everybody get it? And it works. Right. They made it all fucking work. It's really
interesting how they made it like, yes, that the rest of the world is kind of fine. I do like a lot about this. How's that ending sitting with you, fellas? This might be a light spoiler to everyone out there. Maybe skip ahead if you haven't seen the film yet.
The sequel setup, you mean?
Yes. It's literally like, good job, Spike there. How about you join the Kingsmen? Oh, it's the Kingsmen movies now.
But it's not the Kingsmen. I'm sorry. It's the Jimmy Savilman.
Yes.
I know. I get what they're referencing. Mm. Very cool, by the way. But I just felt like, okay, yeah, we're gonna do this now. That's a proud British film. Now we're doing 28 years later too, The Kingsman on his secret service.
All right, let me ask you this though. You're complaining about that, but I think that's the appropriate way you do a sequel setup instead of spending the last 30 minutes of this movie setting up whatever that's going to be, which a lesser film you bet your ass would have done in the same age.
And I mean,
how about no setup? That'd be cool.
It also answers a question that's been sort of trickling out in the movie itself. Like there's the one hung upside down zombie and it's like who would do such a thing, and you can see Jimmy is etched into his chest. So it's like, it's not out of nowhere. I'm kind of six of one, half dozen the other. Like if it got cut, I would be fine. If it was a stinger scene, I would have been fine. I think it's really fun and badass. It makes me very excited. Like Andrew, I as you might have heard on our excellent Patreon episode on 28 years later, 28 Days Later is one of my favorite movies. It was one of my favorite horror movies, period. I was very like, okay, we'll see how this is going to go. And I was floored by it. It was amazing. Yeah. I love that they do like a folk horror thing. It's a much smaller story, quieter, more interesting, more... It's thinkier than I think a lot of legacy sequels are. And it tries to move the story forward in an interesting way. And is the ending a little splashy for what came and then 100 minutes before, possibly. I still had a lot of fun with even with that stinger ending.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, there's a argument, and I'll have to see it again to really, form this up.
I can't wait to see it again.
I think this might be his best movie.
His
most
Boyle
adventurous movie. Like I don't think he's holding back at all. This is all big ideas in the narrative, big ideas in the way it was made, big ideas in like how this thing is going to go forth with Mia DaCosta movie and Boyle's second film, whenever we get to finally see those two movies. The story, like at first I was really worried and I'm like, are we going to be with this island the whole time? And I was like, this is it's probably going to be okay, but it's not going to be what I was hoping for. And then as soon as we leave that, I was like, oh man, this is ambition. Like doesn't even cover it. It's the biggest movie he's made by a mile. And I was floored the whole time. The ending, like yeah, I am getting to the point, like, I can't get angry at this stuff anymore. Like, this isn't every fucking movie. Like,
yeah.
Getting angry, but like, oh, it's happening again. Oh my God, they're doing this again. Oh, there's more previews in front of the movie. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? That sucks, doesn't it? Well, I hate this movie.
It was a very good movie. I just thought was undone a little bit by its badass ending. Oh shit. Oh my God. Colin Firth's going to teach me something in the next one.
That's the thing is that I don't think it's badass. Like, yeah. I don't think it's badass at all. I think it's the kid being like, being introduced to people who are going to try to destroy him.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
That is to me stronger than like, oh man, Batman's coming. Number two. Here we go.
I loved the first hour. I thought it was incredible. The father-son stuff. I liked the evolution of the infected, like the crawler ones was interesting.
Those guys.
I liked almost everything about it, but then when I got that ending, it just gave a bad stink in my mouth, and I'm thinking the next one of these is not going to be as good.
I just don't understand why, if he's doing one in three, why he can't do two. Like,
does
he have a vacation schedule? I don't understand this. And I'm sorry.
Another worry right there.
That fucking Candyman was hated. That not fucking really good. The Marvels was not good. Didn't you do that too?
I believe. No.
No, is that not Nia DaCosta?
Let me look.
But like that. But that fucking that Candyman, like, everybody hated that movie. And I'm like, you're stepping into like this big franchise now, arguably like a bigger franchise than Candyman.
It was Nia DaCosta, and
Marvels.
You did Marvels as well, and that movie is fucking terrible. Although at this point, I can't even blame directors for Marvel movies. You know what I mean? Like, I don't blame Chloe Zhao for The Eternals. It's just not a good movie.
No, and I mean, I guess, and that's fine.
Yeah,
you know, I was just like reeling off recent output, sure. But like, I mean, that Candyman thing is the big problem.
And that was her. I mean, that's a very direct one-to-one thing. It's a legacy sequel. It's a horror movie, et cetera, et cetera. It does give one pause about what the bone temple is going to be. I mean, I want to bury me at the bone temple for sure.
That was very cool. Like Bonehenge is what I was calling it.
Oh, Bonehenge.
Bonehenge.
Hell
got
yeah.
out of the theater. Bonehenge. Bonehenge. I mean, my thing is a nitpick, but I wanted to highlight it because and also coupled with the fact that he's not directing the next one, I could see there being a big valley.
It's entirely possible. Yes. It has me real, real nervous. Yeah.
28 years later, asks the question, what if the most metal as fuck image you've ever seen is actually kind of sweet? What about that? What if that happened?
Sure.
And it's great.
I was sitting there like just totally like I caught a late show by myself. There was like six people in the theater in a, you know, quiet upstate multiplex. And I was like in the third row, just kind of felt like I was watching it by myself. And just like when it gets to Fiennes nothing about it was what I had assumed it was going to be. I mean, I was already impressed by the movie by that point, but this, I was like, holy shit. I mean, this is the best he's been in God knows how long, probably since,
Conclave.
Yeah.
Which is pretty recent.
I keep forgetting that he was in that. Like, I feel like there's been such a void of him doing relevant shit that,
he's back in a big way. I mean, he's been around.
He's
the menu now. Was big.
I guess I forgot about that. I guess it shows how memorable that was to me overall. But I mean, he's just amazing in this in a totally unexpected way that I didn't see coming. And I'm so glad that I was wrong with my presumptions.
Also, shout out Steven Soderbergh for doing the real fucking work and getting these iPhones in making movies a normal thing.
Yeah.
God damn. Like, because, like, honestly, the thing I was most worried about is that this thing's going to look normal. This thing's going to act normal. And it's just going to be a normal horror movie. Yeah. And I'm going to be like, okay, that was fun. But, like, I'm not going to love it in any way. And, like, I love.
I didn't get a chance to rewatch Week, so I don't recall. But is that any kind of, like, lesser film material or anything like that, or is it just like high grade looking?
Probably digital is my guess.
Digital, I think it was a digital.
Well, and but the, like good looking digital that they had at that point, or like the DV tape.
I believe it looked better than 28 Days.
Yeah,
but it's been a while. I saw that over the pandemic. I really liked it. I know that's controversial. Some people dislike that movie. Mm. Weeks, but yeah. What's funny about this movie too is it. It doesn't really undo Weeks, but it's just like, don't worry about that.
Because
at the end of Weeks, there's the shot of the infected taking over like the Eiffel Tower. Right. So that the opening scroll of this is like, yeah, they got beat back from mainland Europe. It's not spreading, actually.
Which I think is actually kind of, again, it makes it much more of an English story. It makes it, I mean, again, like the full core bit of it, you know what I mean? Which I do like all the stuff on the island, the weird, like.
I do. Yes. I like the home life. I like all this type of stuff. But it also then begs the question, like, why isn't the EU, why isn't the United States carpet bombing the UK? Yeah.
That was my thought, was just kind of like, you know, someone would have, like, develop that real estate, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but like maybe it's a thing where they're too nervous, like if we blow it up,
yeah,
and like that, the, you know, we don't want to pull the Return of the Living Dead, and it's like the shit goes up in the clouds and then it rains, you know, somewhere in Germany, and all of a sudden it starts all over again. So you know, maybe it's that. I mean, but I did just like when that fucking Swede pulls out an iPhone, I was like, it is amazing to have the choice be that the world has moved on.
I mean, to your point, I what I think is, like, I didn't need this movie to be like, yeah, everything fucking sucks. Like, we're bombing England. We're taking over everything. Like, my pessimism at the state of the world does not need to coat a movie that is negative enough about what the world is going to go to. Yeah. So like I didn't miss any of those big sweeping things. I was like, this is fine enough as it is.
It's why Boyle and Garland make a great team. Boyle is kind of sentimental and Garland is very cynical, and like mixing those together, there's a little, you know, spicy and sour kind of a thing. You know?
I agree.
It's a beautiful balance.
It is a great balance. Alex Garland should not be allowed to play alone anymore.
Thank you. Know?
He should always have a friend with him. Always make a movie with a friend, a buddy. I feel like we're really blessed that we got this, and I'm gonna put my hopes back down to nothing for this next one.
Good
and
move.
Prove me wrong, Nia DaCosta. Prove me wrong. So, as we've been saying, right, this is the summer finale. So we're, of course, going to miss 2 months worth of big releases of movies. So I thought we would just do a really quick lightning round, because we also have folks. We got a secret movie to get to and a home media mania segment to get to. So this summer, like TBD lightning round, we'll call it here. Just some initial thoughts on stuff that's coming out, including something I just bought drive-in tickets to just today, as a matter of fact, for this weekend, because in 2 days, the next Jurassic World adventure comes out. How are we feeling about this, guy?
I am steering clear of this as best. If you, Andrew, are going to see it, which I'm very glad about, which means I may or may not watch it in January. That's where I'm at. I am so not interested in this.
The same.
I'll be there. I'm going to support Gareth Edwards until the ship goes all the way down. I need to be on the sea when that happens. Then I'll get my balloon and I'll hit the top.
I haven't seen a Jurassic Park movie in theaters since Jurassic Park 2, and that's totally fine by me.
Nice. I got to tell you, it's pretty embarrassing to admit, but I've seen all of these worlds in theaters. A lot of them by myself.
I think just the first world in theaters I saw. I was actually at the Ziegfeld before it was demolished.
Nice, dude. Yeah, so I'll see. You know, a lot of this is just, we're going to be away in the mountains. There's a drive in there. We can sit in an air-conditioned car, and the dog can take a nap, and we can watch a dumb dinosaur movie. So that's kind of the only reason. Otherwise, it would be Skip City.
Steve, were you aware that there is indeed a Witchboard remake coming out this summer?
I just found that out the other day, and I'm really excited about it. I'm genuinely excited about it.
That's gonna be awesome.
It's gotta be straight to streaming, right? It's not gonna
theaters. No, sir. That is that's like a Shutter.
That's got a Friday night for me and my wife written all over.
100%.
That first Witchboard movie is awesome, and I'll tell you what, that second Witchboard movie, kind of worth your time.
Wait, that Witchboard remake, what a crazy director they got for this thing.
Who's that?
The director of, listen to this filmography. This is wild
Uh-oh.
Filmography.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh. Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors.
Okay.
The Blob, The Mask, Eraser with Schwarzenegger.
Oh, is it Chuck Russell?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Bless now the I'm Child, Scorpion excited. King. I mean, there's good and bad here.
No, there certainly is.
Wow. How about that? Okay. All right. Chris Cabin throwing some strays into the lightning round, but here we go. Back on track. We've discussed the S controversy, but any other thoughts on Superman coming out July 11th?
So more about the S. No, actually, that's not. No more about the S. I'm really excited for this and Fantastic Four. I have to walk around and just put my hands, my fingers in my ears. Like, could we just let the movie come out and I could
be surprised
by even a single frame of it? Is it
possible? The answer to the question you're asking is no.
That's the answer. We lost the war. It's impossible.
When it comes to comic book stuff, it's no longer.
Because it's the Red Hulk syndrome. Like, we just got to get these asses in seats. It's your new Avengers syndrome.
But I have not seen anything here in the Superman advertising that's a Red Hulk situation.
No.
I feel they have confidence in this movie
in
ways that they did not with Red Hulk, which is why the term Red Hulking was invented here on Screen Live. But I'm excited for it in a big, bad way. I saw a video clip of Luthor and Superman, Nicholas Hoult.
Oh, cool,
David Crowswell.
I'll know it by the time the movie comes out.
Hornswoggle, maybe. Cromford? David Cornsweth.
Cornsweth.
There we go. Eric, by the way, you won't know it from the name, but he's American, so how about that?
Wow, that's crazy. I didn't know they let those people Yankees in movies. It looks promising. It looks good. I like some of these trailers, but I've got a lot of pause at all the super friends that are going to be showing up. So now I have to learn about who this super guy is. And then I got to learn all these other characters. I want to be more focused.
It's a reasonable concern. It's one of mine as well, even though the fact that Guy Gardner is going to be in a movie and it looks like Guy Gardner is really exciting for a man like me.
Dumbass haircut.
Yeah, exactly. Wearing this awful T-shirt. So that's exciting. But I do agree. Like, I kind of wish a bit more an insular Superman movie when you're relaunching the character. But hopefully optimistic, and I have my tickets already because I'm that big of a nerd.
You're not going to get away at this point in any of these movies from packing it with characters that people can do the elbow nudge with and all that stuff. The only thing I can ask for is that the guy who's at the reins of the thing knows how to give each of them their space. And doesn't just turn it all into splush and turn it into a stew of crap. And it looks like, Gunn, I don't love Suicide Squad, but I like it. And that's more than I could say about a lot of these movies. So I give him that range that he can maybe make that work.
Yeah. The thing that I was saying and got cut off about Hoult and Hornswoggle there, whatever his name is, they were on some late night show. And what I just wanted to put out there was they have fucking awesome chemistry together.
Yeah.
So, I hope that translates to the screen. The other thing I would say is I'm less concerned about all these other characters being in here only because, I've fucking seen at least two Superman movies where it's just, Superman and Lex Luthor. I've done it. I don't need a single hint. I've seen The Simple Adventures. Give me something else. And again, Man of Steel, I think Luthor's just the bad guy in that, right? Is he?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
No, Man of Steel. No, Man of Steel, it's the Kryptonians again.
That's right. Yeah.
Which is too much.
Which, again, I've seen him fight Zod in another movie we talked about last weekend. But so, to me, I'm I don't know. It's going to be shit I haven't seen before in a Superman movie. And for me, these Superman movies can get kind of repetitive. You look at part four, he's just fighting a guy that's literally made from him. So, I don't know. I'm curious. I like the Guy Gardner. No. Dumbass.
I'm really excited. I'm legitimately I haven't been this excited for a comic book movie in quite some time. That's my full
All right, we're gonna keep going here. I'm determined to get through all of these. July 18th, Eddington, the new one from Ari Aster, comes out from A24, looking like a big old wide release, which is kind of interesting.
Baby. Whoops. Is everybody excited for everybody losing their fucking mind because it's an Ari Aster movie?
Yeah.
And we have to have our opinion in stone the day it releases. It's going to be so good. I can't wait for people bitching.
This trailer I've seen two trailers for it, the two different ones. I'm really excited about it. It looks really cool. It could be a total fucking misfire. You know what I mean? He's done only really horror adjacent, even though I was afraid his horror adjacent stuff. This seems to be much more rooted in the real world, which I'm excited about.
I hear it's horror adjacent.
Yeah.
From what I've heard.
Yeah. So, the thing about the discourse, man, can I tell you, I'm exhausted already?
Oh, yeah.
Because, you, Chris Cabin, made me forget about all of that. But, just the Beau is Afraid, everybody just loving with their little fingers could type out on whatever. I just, It was obnoxious, yes. Man. So like, I'm ready for the discourse to be piss poor and off the mark as usual.
Well, because it's going to be, it's about the pandemic. It's about, what I mean? The protests, Black Lives Matter, like all this stuff is rolled into it. So it's a Discord bomb.
The amount of, why isn't this the movie I made in my heads?
Yes.
You're going to get in this one is going to be out of this world.
I don't know. I'll say also, I have avoided any trailer for this.
I have not.
I know what it's about. I know who's in it, and that's it. I will say this though: if we could get in with a runtime that's not the Beau Is Afraid runtime, that would be kind of cool.
Let me see if I can pull it up. On
we got a full official listing yet. I'm not sure because I think they must be selling tickets at this point.
Well, it was, 149 minutes. That's not
all right. It's fucking longer than Superman. I just have to say it. It's longer than fucking Superman with all his super friend characters in it. Yes. Okay. So I don't.
I love Beau Is Afraid. I love As Long As It Is. It was one of my favorite movies of that year. It was just fucking awesome.
It's a good one. Another one we are sort of holding our breath for here. The Fantastic Four First Steps, which is at July 25th. We will be doing, by the way, sometime in, I think it comes out the week it comes out or maybe the week before, we did an episode, we just recorded it on Fantastic Four 2015.
We sure did.
So we are Fantastic Four pilled. I actually, maybe this is a fool me 5,000 times, shame on me, but like, I'm kind of excited for this. I think it's carrying itself in a way that these movies haven't in many years. I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you, Andrew, it's automatically the best Fantastic Four movie.
It would have to be. Like,
it just has to be.
Yes.
And I'm not even that excited for it, but it has to be.
Just by pure production design, budget, talent of cast, etc.
Did another director just have to come in the middle of this and say, everyone, hey, everybody calm down. All right. if it got past that, then it has to be better. It has to be.
I'm really excited about it. I'm loserishly kind of annoyed it's coming out when we're in England because I'm like, I don't think I'm going to be able to drag my wife to that. And I know she wants to see it, but I know she doesn't want to waste her vacation seeing it. So it's going to be a real fucking dance about staying off the internet and the whole thing.
Find the absolute most beautiful movie theater in London.
Yeah.
And it'll probably be playing there. And maybe you can do it that way. Like, oh, look, the architecture historic, or some
shit.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. I might be able to. That's been my thought. Yeah.
Any London-based or just any UK listeners out there, what's the best movie theater in London and where can Steve go see Fantastic Four? Because, listen, I've also been kind of thinking about it, Steve, so you're not the only one.
And you're in the same boat.
I think it's pretty cool, though, that it's directed by Matt Shakman. I mean, the dude has directed a shit ton of, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, I feel like you need to be able to work in comedy
for sure
to do a Fantastic 100%. Four the right way. So that's kind of, hopeful to me. But we'll see. But yeah, that's coming out when we're away in the UK. But when we get back, I get back just in time to probably wait for rental on The Naked Gun, which comes out August 1st. Directed by Akiva Schaffer. This is from Paramount. They're going back in on the Frank Drebin of it all.
I really want this to be good because I like Akiva Schaffer so much. And I've liked everything. Because that's the pop star guy. He's with Jorma Taccone and Andy Samberg. I like the two movies they've put out so far. I've really enjoyed. But I got to tell you, I've seen the trailer for this thing. And the problem I'm going to have is that the jokes, where it used to be, and I know this is the difference between the ages it was made, but back in the original trilogy, every joke was kind of you had to do it physically. It had to make sense physically. But the fact that Liam Neeson pops out of a Cloris Leachman in this. I'm here actually. And I'm that's
a physical, he's doing a physical impossibility.
It's a digital, digitally they put his face on whatever.
I understand. I'm saying in the world of the movie, he's doing something that's physically impossible, which is not true to the world of The Naked Gun.
And and the original Naked Gun, it was more like Frank Drebin was a klutz. And the jokes were regular. It wasn't really commenting on the legacy of what happened to O.J. Simpson, for instance, and stuff. So I'm a little nervous about this as a big old Naked Gun head. But I will still see it, and we'll see what happens. By the way, Steve, I believe, is the one that predicted this in our commuter episode. We did an episode on the commuter, and Steve said, you know, I bet they'll go with Liam Neeson for the Naked Gun remake, and they did.
One of the many things that I've gotten absolutely right in my life. So many things I've gotten so right.
I'm sure there's more.
There's definitely others. I'm like kind of waiting at the beach. Like, is the water too cold? Like, that's going to be me.
Yep. Is it okay to go for a swim? Exactly.
I'll be yelling at Eric when he goes for the dip, because I do love the Naked Gun movies. And the real thing that gives me pause, not just, I agree with Chris, like some of the jokes are a little out there. The thing is, you're trading in the Zucker brothers for Seth MacFarlane in terms of, like, that's right. To me.
I just looked it up, though, and thankfully, like, he's only a producer in this movie. Like, he doesn't have a hand in writing it. Mm-hmm. And like we said, Akiva directed it. So I'm sure his fucking stink is on it. Yes. I mean, that joke, like Chris said, is a very Family Guy joke. I don't know. I'm also excited that Pam Anderson's in it. It's cool seeing her work off the success of Last Showgirl. Like, she's in a big movie like this. I think that's rad. But yeah, I just don't know that I'm ready for the theater.
I would love for Akiva to direct a movie I would like. That'd be nice. When he did The Watch, Hot Rod, and I know you love Pop Star. None of these hit for me.
Really? I've
actually never seen any of them, honestly.
Pop Star is worth seeing. I would put down, you would laugh at that.
You have to like vibe with the Lonely Island style of comedy.
If it was 2007, it would be great.
Isn't that when that came out? I feel like
no, it was like 2011 or something.
Oh, was it really?
2009-11, did you say?
Okay, we got a few more here, and then we're going to get to other stuff, and we're gonna do it. We're going to do it, goddammit. Okay. Here we go. New one from Zach Cregger coming out August 8th. Weapons.
Barbarian sold my ticket, so I'm good.
Same. I didn't. No trailer. Didn't watch it.
Ditto. So. I've avoided all the trailers. I don't know anything about it.
Heavy duty. The Empty Man vibes.
I love that.
Like, I was about to drool. I was like, do it.
Speaking of fucking run times, I don't want to see anymore.
I'll give it. Give it. Make that movie 4 hours. I don't care.
The crazy thing is this is another one I've avoided it, but like I think that this little piece of writing here on the poster, last night at 2:17 a.m. every child from Mrs. Gandhi's class woke up, got out of bed, went downstairs, opened the front door, walked into the dark, and they never came back. That's literally that, coupled with the image of these kids. That's all I need. I'm going to the movies, baby.
Exactly.
So are these kids, put that poster back up. They have no legs. Is that?
None of them have legs. No, okay. It's dynamic.
They're running. They're supposed to be running.
Running. Yes. Yeah, I don't know. About knee is poster. Bent. I don't know.
What do you think? They're all hopping down the street?
Yeah, maybe with the way they're trying to balance with their goddamn arms. Come on, kids.
Maybe there's an evil bastard that cuts their legs off and hits them.
Could
with
be.
Them. Oh, you know what I mean? The legs are the weapons.
The legs are the weapons. Yeah, that makes sense.
Speaking of weirdo horror, evil bastards, I did see the trailer for the Black Phone 2. Anyone see
Hell yeah.
It? No.
We are going full. Like, the last one is Supernatural, so it's not out of the running, but like, Ethan Hawke is just like, I'm a ghost. What of it? And I'm like, okay.
This is how you do it. Because if you're just doing like, it's another guy, you know, taking up the mantle of the grabber or whatever.
Or it's like,
I'm not interested. This is super, super, super paranormal. Let's up that shit. Let's get fucking nuts. I'm ready for it.
It's kind of what the Saw movies should have done, as opposed to being like, well, actually, if you this takes place between 9 a.m. and 9:15 the morning, like just that whole shit that the Saw franchise has done to death.
Saw 11, the lunch break. It's like, just let's fucking go, man. Let's get nuts. I'm very excited.
I had enough fun with the first one that I'm interested in the second one for sure.
I wasn't crazy about that first one. Yeah. So the mask is great. Great mask.
Great mask.
It's Scott Derrickson and Robert Cargill teaming up again to do this. Like, I'm fucking down for it. But I'm also down for Weapons. Because Zach Cregger, I will follow that dude with whatever horror he's doing. All right, last one. Here we go. The new one from Aronofsky. Yeah. No poster yet. Caught stealing. It's out from Sony. August 29th. Just ass ending this, which is kind of weird.
The first Aronofsky movie in a while to look like an OG Aronofsky movie.
Yes.
Yep. This one looks like it's city-based. He's doing in close, tight quarters where you have to do a lot of stuff.
It's so pie fun. Vibes, dude.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's where I am right now, too. Yes.
Ooh. Heavy dose not of Judaism. Enough. That's also good for early Aronofsky. It's true.
You want that in your Aronofsky movie. Absolutely. Yeah. Eric's got some dudes from the Hasidim banging on the door there behind him.
And you know, the trailer's super fun. Again, I don't know if this is a summer movie, but I'll see it in the summer if you want me to. You know, like I don't know if this is going to be a box office smash, but I'm excited about it.
Yeah. I mean, my whole thing is just I don't understand why Sony's positioning it where it is,
because
it's a Darren Aronofsky movie. Several of those I've seen premiere at like Toronto, and so I'm like, what does that mean? What could that mean? You know, but I'm there for it either way. Maybe they don't think they need the buzz. Like maybe it's that good. Sure. You know what I mean? We don't need film festival buzz. It could just come out and be fucking awesome. But what's his face there? Doctor Who, Matt, whatever the fuck.
Oh, Matt.
The dude with the big head, that guy, him with like the big mohawk and everything. It looks fucking cool. It looks like it's going to be a fun movie. And like, yeah, dude, like the comparison of like, oh, looks like Aronofsky's making a Safdie's movie. Aronofsky was making Safdie's movies before the Safdies were making movies, folks. Yes. That's how that shit fucking works. And he's going back to formula, and I'm very, very excited about it.
Agreed.
That.
Yeah, and the mohawk is nice. It somehow it makes his face finally work.
Yeah.
Fair enough. So that's just, you know, shit coming out this summer that we do want to take a look at in one way or another. And by the way, speaking of this summer, folks, that's right. The 3-night residency at the Oxford Comedy Festival is happening in just a few short weeks at this point. I can't even believe it.
It's nuts.
It's happening.
Go ahead, please. Well, I was just going to say, I found a clip because one of the shows that we're doing is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles,
Elementary,
My Dear Turtle. There it is, where they are in the sewers of Oxford at one point. So I was like, oh, for the show today, why don't I pull a fun little clip from the Turtles episode? And so I tried to use one file. It didn't work. So I went to YouTube and I was like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Elementary, My Dear Turtle. What do we got? We can do a clip. So I have a clip for you guys, and then I'll show you, or I'll tell you about where I got this clip from. But just really quickly, so here it is. It's literally like 3 seconds. Okay. So here we go. There's no audio. Also, this is just it right here. Here we go.
Okay, great.
That's it. I'll play it one more time in case anybody missed it.
Uh huh. His feet are there, they disappear, and then they come back again.
They come back again. Now, you may be asking yourself, where did I find that? Well, friends, there's a YouTube video here that I'm actually, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to see if this works. I'm going to paste this in the public chat.
Okay.
First, I'll do it on our private chat here so you guys can see the name of the video here. And then, we'll go to comments, see if this will work. I don't know. But folks can just see what we're dealing with here. The video title, Suggested Feet Video, TMNT Elementary My Dear Turtle, posted on the account.
Boy.
You guessed it. Vid Feet Love.
Okay. Yeah. And now here's the problem that I'm getting.
What's that?
Is what's that it's all monster feet. It's all...
Yeah.
At least what I can see here.
Is there any liquid being splashed on any of these feet?
Not yet.
Okay, because that really
this
does
is
need
really,
to be.
These things could crush you, guys. These could crush
they
you.
They certainly can. Mm-hmm. They certainly can. Oh, Hulk foot, Godzilla all feet. That video is over 2 minutes long.
Disgusting.
I love that most of them are like 3 to 4 seconds because like anything outside of the feet, fuck you, I'm not interested.
Yep.
Like not even the establishing, like, oh, it's we start from the head and then it goes down to the monster's foot. Fuck no, 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 you, no, no. I'm not interested.
I don't need to see what that monster's standing next to. I just need to see them tootsies.
Yeah, and so, I apologize. Everyone should have used a private browser, but you didn't.
Yeah. No, no. Stay Long didn't comment on all those videos. Say how We Hate Movies is such a good show.
Watch it.
Because these are the people we need, the feet people.
Mm-hmm.
The feet people. Yeah, so there you go. Head over to whmpodcast.com. Click on the tour page. Whatever is left for the residency is still for sale. We got a few things that are sold out, so check it out. The website's up to date. The ticketing links are up to date. We got three more things to tell you about, and I think we can get to all of them if we go really fast.
Sure.
So let's see here. You know, sometimes new shit comes out, it falls through the cracks, and we are there to scoop it back up in a secret segment we like to call Secret Movie. There it is. All right, so Eric Siska, tell us all about Josh Duhamel in Off the Grid.
Oh, my God. Am I the only one that watched this? Chris, yeah. Did you watch this?
I did not watch it.
You son of a bitch.
I gave it to you to watch.
This, you piece of shit. You fucking scumbag.
You, wow, Chris. Excuse me. Somebody fell for it. I'm sorry. Yeah. If you fell for
Chris
it.
Chris has got the red curtain, and he goes, woof. And Eric went right.
Because you know what? This is probably, I do not see anything make this is the worst movie I've seen this year. I don't think anything is gonna beat it.
That's amazing,
because this is a non fucking movie, you know. Okay. It's Josh, what's his name, Duhamel.
I've always said Duhamel.
Yeah, Josh, yeah. Duhamel as a brilliant scientist
okay,
who's hiding out, and because you know he's got this invention that could, it'd be like clean energy for the world. So then the evil company wants to get him and kill him or whatever. Greg Kinnear as the head of this, or part of the head of this evil company. His scenes are decent because he's an actor. Everyone else is not. And it's just, it's wandering the woods. It's doing nothing. There's almost nothing happens. Like literally almost nothing happens in this movie. At one point, Josh Duhamel, whatever his name is, is wandering a convenience store for what feels like 5 minutes. So,
Just picking out snacks?
Is it a just thriller? A movie. Is it an action movie? Like, what are we talking?
It's trying to be an action kind of thriller because he's, you know, he can save the world with this thing.
Sure.
But then they never talk about it. He's just off the grid. He's just like living in the woods like a hobo for a little bit. And really, really, I cannot overstate how much nothing happens.
Wow.
In this movie.
Okay.
It is not a secret movie. It's a fake movie.
Ooh, okay. Wow. Tax fraud stuff, huh?
Yes. Garbage. That's all. We can move on. Fuck that.
Yes.
Sure. There we go. We'll move on indeed to the bullet I took this weekend. This one, folks, it made me like really reevaluate like my dedication to cinema because it is just an awful piece of movie making called Stealing Pulp Fiction.
This seems like a fake movie. Off the Grid, I could understand as a movie like, hey, Josh Duhamel was in that Las Vegas show. People sort of like that 20 years
ago. He's in them Terminators Transformers.
I wish I watched this. I wish I watched this.
God, you so don't, though. This
AI
is,
generator, make me a poster that looks like licorice pizza. Thank you.
Yep, pretty much. It's also trying to do like a Once Upon a Time in Hollywood thing.
Sure.
Let me tell you guys, this is like some of the longest 76 minutes of my life.
Wow.
Like, it's not even 80 minutes. It is about two dipshit guys, the guy in the middle and the guy with the mustache on the left. The guy in the middle apparently was on precisely one season of Saturday Night Live.
Oh, wow.
The mustache guy I've seen in some stuff. They are just two dipshits who, for reasons, are like, oh, you know what we could do? We could steal Quentin Tarantino's personal print of Pulp Fiction and sell it and make a fortune off of it. So that's the movie.
It's contemporary. What? It's like
it's set contemporarily because we're saying shit like, so it's like, oh yeah, playing tonight at the movie theater Quentin Tarantino owns. They're playing Pulp Fiction using his print at the movie theater Quentin Tarantino owns.
Yeah.
Dude, it's that kind of shit. And let me tell you, here it is. Here it fucking is. There is a guy in this movie playing Quentin Tarantino.
Oh, no.
And it is some of the worst fucking bullshit tomfoolery grab ass performance you have ever seen. It's embarrassing. I literally turned to my dog and said, I'm sorry. This movie's so bad.
Hand over here. Do we get any, is there any shot of him looking at feet, handling feet?
No.
Do they try to at least get him to character? Like, this is what we know about the man.
He's kind of doing it. He's doing a voice, man. Okay. He's kind of doing a voice, right. And he's got a fake putty chin on, man. And he's doing a voice, and he's going to see Pulp Fiction in the theater that he owns, on the print that he owns, man. And then he's like chasing these guys. It's so fucking horrible. But I didn't even get to the worst, most embarrassing, pathetic part of it. This is so sad. Take a look at this poster again. Who's that in the hat? Who's that in the hat?
Is that Will Sasso?
No, it's fucking Jason Alexander. God damn it.
Oh, no. That's so much worse.
Dude, he plays a psychiatrist that the both of the guys go to who gets in on the heist along with this girl who's staring very dead-eyed here at the top of the poster. Mm-hmm. And her character is, I think this is a stupid idea, so I'm just going to be like, checked out and thinking the whole movie's stupid, which is the right idea, lady.
Oh my God.
This was so bad. I should have taken the $6.99 out into the street and set it the fuck on fire.
That'd be entertaining.
The guy that plays Tarantino, Seeger Tennis is his name, apparently.
Ooh.
He's credited as Seeger Tennis in the movie as Quentin motherfucking Tarantino. Whoa.
That's so cool. He wrote his own mini bio on IMDb. This is his only credit. I am an actor and professional musician out of Arizona. Originally from Boston, I was plucked from obscurity to star as Quentin Tarantino in the comedy feature Stealing Pulp Fiction. You're plucked out of obscurity and put back into obscurity.
Like, oh my God. Like, I just can't. Like, honestly, I said this on Letterboxd. Like, this movie, I just got to take a step away from Pulp Fiction. I don't even know if I like that movie anymore.
Okay.
Really, like this movie fucking destroyed it for me. Like,
the sadness about this movie is that, you know, once Seinfeld ended and they did like an interview with Jason Alexander, they're like, what are you seeing the field? Who would you like to work with? Oh, well, that Quentin Tarantino. I would love that.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just so, and he will take guys from TV and really do something with them. So I can't wait to see what he has done next. I call me Quentin. And then this happens.
Yeah.
They called him Quentin.
He's trying his best and everybody's got to eat. I understand it, but it's just so, bad.
It sounds like it's actually even worse than that robot movie he was also in this year. Jason Alexander, big year. Russo brothers. Russo brothers.
Oh, God. Orange. What the fuck is it?
What was it? Electric
State. Electric State.
There it is. Yes. Yeah.
This movie's worse than that. It just by the definition of what a movie is, this movie's worse than that movie. So let's cleanse our palate. The last thing here, Steve Sadek, we got a little bit of home media mania to talk about because you, my friend, have the Martin Cove bug a little bit. Is that right?
I do. Steel Justice. Ooh. Look, it's like Metal Gear Solid ass shit. That's what made me buy this VHS tape.
How much you paying for that?
That was like $15.
No one's ever paid $15 for Steel Justice.
You could rent a real movie for that.
I know what I could do with $15, Chris, but I instead bought Steel Justice. By the way, quick question for the group, both small group and larger group. Eric changed his username or his display name in the middle of the show. Is he allowed to do that? I don't know.
Really? Is this a problem?
No, it's not.
Others have done it before.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Steve. All right. Possibly even you.
I'm just going to let the police figure this out. When they get here, we'll find out. They'll make their judgment.
Yes. And to be clear, yes. I
changed it again, you asshole.
I bought this before Bitegate.
Bitegate.
Yeah, I bought this. I usually just, I'll go to a VHS place and buy like a shit ton and just, I'll just sit on my shelf and I'll almost never get to them because I'm a really big idiot. And
I'll go to a VHS place, AKA an estate sale.
There are some VHS places in this world, more by the day. And this is a stupid movie from 1987 where Martin Cove plays Vietnam veteran.
Wow, that's surprising.
Where he's, yeah. Did he serve or no? I think he's just stolen valor all the way.
Probably.
I don't know.
Valor, I'd imagine.
It's, yeah. I don't think he's the right age to have served, yes. But I don't know that for sure. I can't say.
But so this movie is populated by almost no Vietnamese actors.
Sure.
Koreans and what have you. It's just from minute to minute, it's like a different movie. There are no fewer than two full musical performances. One. In a shit kicker bar, this like
nice
kind of like it looks like it's with a in Southern California, a big uh-huh. Confederate flag, and this like Southern band is just rocking out while Martin Cove gets into a fight. Later in the movie, Celia Ward, who is in the movie,
wow,
there's an action sequence about to happen, but she's like, but I have to direct this music video first, and it's just like a totally different pop band. LOL, it's great. It's
that rules.
The action isn't worth it. The movie's mostly not worth it, but it's kind of fun in terms of like 80s stupidity. If you've read and or watched The Sympathizer, it's kind of like it's about the Vietnamese mafia in Southern California. So like it has those vibes, even though it's again populated only by Korean people. Only there's a good Family Annihilation that sets the movie going.
I love that.
Ronnie Cox is involved a little bit.
I'm seeing here on IMDb, you also got Bernie Casey, of
yes,
course.
Yes, Bernie Casey. Love Bernie Casey. Weirdly stacked cast. Shannon Tweed is in a scene that makes no sense.
What?
She's like, you better do the bad stuff. I'm like the other guy's wife or something. You'll never see me again. Sarah Douglas from Superman 2 fame is like,
wow, Ursa.
The DA that's like, you better get the case together. I'm like, he's just going to murder everybody. And that's the case.
And this is as good as a sympathizer, you're saying?
No, not as good as a sympathizer.
Okay.
But,
You know who's also in the movie? Is Al Leong, of course.
Yes.
Which is weird a little because he's fucking Genghis Khan in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. And Bernie Casey's the principal.
There you go.
Or the teacher, or whatever the fuck.
Super fun, stupid, bad movie. I think it's on YouTube. But really understand you're not going to really enjoy yourself. But
I want to see this now. And it turns out the writer wrote Electra Glide in Blue. The writer director of this movie. Mm. He's got some real movies he worked on.
He did. Robert Boris is the dude's name. Yeah.
Yes. He wrote Dr. Detroit and the show.
Oh, but I should say finally that the weirdest part of this movie that. Like made me cringe every time it happened. The actress, I want to say her name is Jan. I'll pull it up real quick.
Sorry. Hooks.
No. her name is
Jan Gone Boyd.
Jan Gone Boyd, who was in a Chorus Line, which I didn't see, is like 20 something, but like her family gets annihilated by the bad Vietnamese gang, and she, because she has to be the kid of the movie, even though she's in her mid-20s, she's just wearing pigtails talking like she's 4 years old. It's really creepy.
Weird.
It's real. Like, Uncle John, are you going to take care of me? I'm like, you should get your own apartment, ma'am, and just relax.
Wow.
Sounds great.
That's weird.
This sounds like everywhere I want to be.
There you go. Well, we have plenty of time to watch it over the summer, because that concludes our run of On Screen Live for this around the same timeline as season 15 of We Hate Movies. So it's been great. We're gonna come back sometime in the fall, probably gonna look a little different, but we'll keep you posted on all that, of course. But enjoy the summer, gang. Enjoy all the bountiful amount of movies we're gonna get, including a bunch of shit we did not talk about today. But we're gonna cut it here. Have a great summer, everybody. Until next time, I've been Andrew Jupin.
I changed my chiron, Steven Sadak.
Steve is a jerk.
And Chris Cabin.
Oh my god. Have a good summer, y'all. Bye bye.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.